On this week's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, host Andrew joins us to chat hidden messages, class rings, and boiling rivers.
Let it flow. Let it flow. Not holding my fact back anymore.
A fact-related, terrible pun in music form. Andrew, you're already crushing it.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, no, this is perfect. Just like the We Don't Know Either book, it's perfect gift for your grandma. She lives out of town. She wants to play trivia. You want to connect about interesting facts that you've learned. Bam, the We Don't Know Either book. You can get it Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, wherever great books are sold. Get it, enjoy it, send it to your grandma.
Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show, everybody. Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 365 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Andrew.
Andrew, welcome to the show. First time guest on here, long time listener.
Yes, long time listener, first time guester.
Yeah, you're also a host.
I am.
What do you like about trivia hosting?
I like kind of being a smart mouth on a microphone and just dealing with the crowd and having a good time with everybody, especially the regulars.
What's the angriest you've ever made somebody?
Oh, I don't know. That was my first night hosting with you guys. somebody claimed I said something about their girlfriend, which I did not, and my co-hosts backed me up, which was fantastic because it was pretty intense that evening.
Oh, man. Yeah. I like the passion people bring, but sometimes, you know, you just don't know the state. You just don't know which U.S. state it was, and you don't know what their state fruit, and you got to get over it, I think, a little bit. That's fair. You also told me before the show that since you started listening to the podcast, you knew what your fact was.
Oh, definitely.
What made you choose this fact? We haven't heard it yet, but what do you think made you choose it?
I have some history with that fact, actually. So personal history, me and my grandfather actually both do. So
Okay. I'm intrigued. Do you want to actually kick us off?
I can if you'd like me to.
I do.
Okay. Since 1835, educational institutions have been using class rings. Mm-hmm. What is the first institution to use a class ring?
That is a great question.
Yeah. I'm assuming your grandfather went there?
As did I.
Oh, okay. I wish that I knew more about my employees. That would definitely lead me to know the answer.
It would make you a better boss.
This is true. This is true.
I know where you went to school, Lindsay.
I do. That's just because I talk about it regularly. And also, owls are a great underutilized mascot. Is it an owl? Is the mascot an owl?
No, it is not.
Okay, that would have given me a hint because there's only like two or three that
do. I'm actually wearing mine, so.
Oh, well, now
it's under the desk on purpose.
Yeah, he put his hand underneath the table. Okay, I will say that I was very observant earlier, and I did notice it was a blue ring. As a blue stone?
It's not a blue stone.
Really?
Oh. So you were less observant than maybe you thought you were.
Okay, well, maybe I had a weird dream about a blue ring.
So here's
bearded
the thing.
Man, I don't know.
Most class rings these days, as well as Super Bowl rings and sporting rings in general, are made by Jostens.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the company that makes
it. I would know.
Hey. Stupid. She has a Stanley Cup ring and a World Series ring.
I don't have that in my possession yet, right. But I will, and I'm excited about it.
She is engaged and to be married soon,
and she wears
the sports rings more than she wears her engagement ring.
That is a lie, because they're very big and bulky. And again, Nick, we're just stalling. We're doing that thing.
I'm trying to think. Stop pointing it out.
We got to think. I would assume that it's probably one of the historically prevalent, which leads you to believe that it's an Ivy League.
Yes.
Again, I don't know why I still am picturing you with a blue ring, but I was going to get my guess was going to be Yale.
That was the first thing that came to mind. And then as I was thinking it out a little bit more, I know that people that went to Ivy League universities like talking about how they went to Ivy League universities. Mm. So if I was a host who went to an Ivy League university and came on a podcast, I would absolutely bring up the fact that I went to an Ivy League university. And that would be one of the first things I would think of when I was trying to think of my interesting fact. So I'm going to say Princeton.
Oh, Princeton. Okay. Are either of us correct?
No.
Oh.
Okay. Are we in the right vein that it is an Ivy League?
No.
Oh, okay. So what is another historical
university that's been?
Yeah, that's one of the oldest.
Yeah, it's the second oldest, right? Or the oldest, or whatever. I think it's the second oldest behind Harvard.
Is that right?
So no.
Well, he's not.
He had that look on his face that was like the, oh man, Nick's got it. Right. I'm angry about it face. So that's what I assumed that had happened.
No, I'm very happy right now that Nick is stumped.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, so how did the tradition of rings unfold? Let's get into this story.
Basically, when they graduated, they wanted to go out and show unity that they were all still from the same alma mater. So they decided in 1835 to have a class ring made for them so they could identify each other after graduation.
Okay, so here's another piece of this. Andrew and I are Facebook friends.
Mm.
He's one of the few hosts that we have that I actually am friends with personally on Facebook rather than just through the company and everything. It's one of the reasons why you actually became a host is because we knew each other first.
Yes.
And then you said, oh, this makes sense.
I did not give Nick a host referral bonus, which is
something we
do give to our hosts if they, you know, recruit a host. Which, by the way, email us, hire me. We're hiring in Portland and D.C.
Yeah.
District and Old Line. So if you're District, Old Line, or Bridgetown trivia, email us because we're hiring hosts.
Specifically, if you're in the suburbs of Virginia, like the outer suburbs of Virginia, or anywhere in Portland, Oregon at all.
Baltimore.
I've actually got people in two of those three areas, possibly.
And no host referral fees for you. So seems like something you're missing out on.
Okay, sorry. Back to your train of thought.
So anyway, I've known a little bit about Andrew from the beginning. And you're not local, but you've been here for a long time.
I've been here 14 years almost.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and you went to school here, too. This is now
I went to grad school here.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it. I thought you're from one of the local universities, but if that was grad school, not undergrad, then that doesn't really help me. All right, I'm out. I'm done. I'm done stalling. We've spent enough time on this interesting fact, I think, to get our mileage out of it.
I wanted to throw out another blind guess because that I've determined is how I am most correct. Shockingly, you guys did not invite me to the Learn League yet. I'm like confused as to why.
Why? No, throwing out random guesses?
No, that's obviously a lie because I would get no answers right ever. Okay, so yeah, I don't know where you're local. It could have been, though, that your grad school gave away the class rings out first, Nick. That's a possibility that you're eliminating.
In that case, it's either Mason or GW, I think. So I'm going to go with Mason.
Okay, then I'll take GW.
Neither of those is correct.
All right, so tell us, please.
But George Washington does have a tie to that university. It's the United States Military Academy.
That
West Point
makes so much more sense than anything that we said at all, like in total. Like once you say it out loud, that makes me feel dumb.
How did we not get that?
I blame you.
You know, sometimes I'm not going to get a rate about it, though, because sometimes I just don't know, which is most of the time. Okay, that looks blue to me.
It's granite, so it's black and gray.
Okay, yeah. I hold by my original, that's like a blue-gray stone. We'll put a picture of it in the link dump. I get that it's more gray, but in a, hey, Andrew, nice to see you kind of shake hands way, I think that blue is a fair thing. Okay, so anyway, West Point Military Academy decided to do the rings for the first time.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. What, do you know if they were made by Jostens or not?
No, they are. Actually, every year, different companies bid on the contract for the rings. So I have a Herff Jones ring. Jostens does them. Levy. L-E-V-Y does them. So it's a variety of companies that make the rings.
Does your grandfather's ring look like?
I don't know.
Oh.
He is buried with it.
Oh, okay.
He died before I was born, unfortunately. So I don't know. He was class of 1926.
Ooh, wow. Class of 1926. Oh, man. I wonder what ring styles were back then.
Apparently you can take it with you.
Actually, there's a ring exhibit at West Point in the library on the second floor. So if you're ever there... It is a public building because it's government owned, but you can get in and see a bunch of rings that were mostly donated by families of deceased graduates.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Andrew, that was, I don't know when you started listening to the podcast, but that was such a good fact. I feel like it was whatever the amount of time, it was worth the wait.
Yeah.
So thank you.
There it is.
Do you have a segue, Nick, from rings?
So speaking of things that are blue-gray.
Yeah.
So in November of 2011, and reaching temperatures of over 200 degrees, in which country is a section of a river known as the Boiling River? So somebody went on an expedition. They heard rumors about this Boiling River, quote unquote, and nobody actually believed it was true. And then somebody like did the research and went out. This is a National Geographic article that I was reading, and actually followed the stories and found a section of a river that was boiling. It was legitimately about 200 degrees on average, but it exceeded 212 degrees Fahrenheit at certain points. And basically, I learned about this, and I'm like, there's no way. And then I started reading more and more and more and looking at videos and all kinds of stuff. Basically, anything that falls in gets cooked. So it's a very, very dangerous
area.
And
it's a part of a river and not like a lake?
Correct. It's a river.
So it's flowing.
It's flowing, okay. Yes.
I'm picturing... I really like lazy rivers.
Right.
You know what I'm you know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah. You and float around, you go tubing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you go to the right resort, it's a loop with a bar. So you just do a loop, you get out, you get your drink, you get back on, you go around and around again. That's my type of lazy river.
If you do it right, the bar is in the pool.
Yeah.
So you don't have to get out.
I like to stretch a little bit. I'm not going to use the restroom in the lazy river.
Right. Yeah. That seems like a really bad idea.
But anyway, I was just picturing myself in an inner tube floating down a lazy river and then hitting this boiling section without warning and then coming out like a rotisserie chicken.
That's exactly what it would be. Yeah. Or a lobster. Yeah. Depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah. None of that story and vision that I had really relates to the fact finding. But again, this is what I do. We know this. Okay. So I would think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, if you're going to have a boiling river, I would think that it's somewhere where volcanic activity would be occurring, right?
I would mostly agree with that, but I was also thinking maybe somewhere towards the equator as well, but I like your volcanic idea better.
Yeah, I don't know. That's hot. Well, is there some volcanic equator places? Because that seems to me like the most logic.
The confluence of the Venn diagram that you all just drew.
The best way to do it would be, you know, most likely the Ring of Fire on the Pacific. Mm-hmm. So Indonesia-ish? Mm-hmm. India? Right.
So I can go in two directions with this question.
Mm.
Initially, I said where, you know, in what country or in which country. But I could also take which river, which...
Well, seeing as I only know three rivers,
isn't that a stadium?
I don't think. Yeah. Yeah.
In Pittsburgh?
Yeah. I don't think that. I know four rivers. We can't forget about that Schuylkill way back in Pennsylvania. Grew up 4 feet from it, but can't spell it to save my life.
Nobody can. That's you're not alone there.
Yep. It's not the Mississippi. It's not the Nile or the Amazon. I'm gonna guess. Maybe. I feel like I'd heard of it.
Those are the three rivers you know, right? Mississippi, Nile, and Amazon.
Ooh. And the Schuylkill.
Right?
I don't want to divulge into how many more rivers I know, but I did just think of the one in Texas, Rio Grande. I know that one.
Yeah.
I know a lot of things.
Yeah.
Cool. I hope everyone's relating to me in this moment. So I'm definitely not going to name the river.
I don't think I was going to name the river. I was going for Africa, Indonesia, you know, Southeast Asia, or possibly South America somewhere.
Cool. So most of the continent.
So all of the world.
Half the
entire world.
Is where it's going to be.
Yeah. You have half the entire world.
But I'm, you know, squishing it at the equator, but I think I'm going to go with somewhere in Indonesia. So, I mean, maybe somewhere like Jakarta.
Okay.
Ooh, Jakarta. That always comes up to me when I'm playing Pandemic. Jakarta always gets I don't know why. That card has cost me so many games in Pandemic. So I don't know why I don't like Jakarta, but it's because of that.
Chicago is what gets me in that game.
Yeah. Oh, Chicago. It's impossible to win. Anyway, okay, I'm going to go with South America region.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Ecuador.
Ecuador in South America. All right. So you gave me a city and you gave me a country.
Sorry.
Which is fine. And I guess if we're doing Price is Right rules, Lindsay is closest geographically. I guess that makes sense. I would have personally, if it were me, taken the name the river path, because if you can name three rivers, it's pretty much one in three. Right? So it is a section of the Amazon River.
Okay, I thought that I felt like if, you know, the Amazon River, it's the longest. You know all these interesting trivia facts about the Amazon. I felt like this boiling river part of it was so interesting that I felt like I would have heard of it.
Right.
Yeah.
That it wouldn't have been discovered in 2011.
Yeah. So I was like, it's no way that it's the Amazon River. That's why I eliminated it.
Yeah. So it is the Amazon River, and it is a section that is in Peru. that this thing takes place in. But yeah, we'll put some videos in the link dumps. There's a whole National Geographic like 3-minute video of the guy like walking down and showing the river and like
can't do any cannonball.
No cannonballs. So yeah, but it's literally a flowing body of water that is 200 plus degrees at all times. So, and yes, it is geothermic, that it is above a fault line and you know, it's heated by magma.
Is it like an off branch of the river?
It is. I didn't get that far to determine whether it was a tributary or a delta or a whatever. But
I would assume a delta.
It's not like a huge main. It's not like a 200-mile stretch of the main section of the Amazon River. It's off to one of the sides, I would assume.
Yeah, because I a few months ago, my interesting fact was about the guy that went through the entire length of the Amazon and was an explorer, and he did not mention the boiling part of the river in any of his blogs,
right,
which I feel like would have been an important note.
Yeah.
Avoid this part.
Right.
Yeah.
The fun thing that, or one of the fun things on this article that I'm going to post in the link dump is that there's like a Google Maps pin, and it's like, it's here. Which I think is just amazing in this day and age where you have to like still discover something, but then once you do, you can just drop a pin on it and go, yeah, right,
found
here.
Found it.
Yeah, once it's found, it's found.
Yeah.
But also to find the one specific pinpoint, that's a really difficult thing.
Yeah, yeah. So the reason I'm asking the question for when we ask it a trivia, it will be the country rather than the river, because, you know, tributary, delta, section, subsection of a third section of a fifth section of a whatever. Nope. Country. What country is it in? Because it is entirely contained within that country, and that takes care of all of the backdoor answers.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well done, Nick. I feel like you kind of gave me a pretty great segue into my fact, in the sense that we're going to stay right in South America, and we're just going to go actually to the neighboring country of Colombia.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not an expert in Colombian civil wars or Colombian history in general, but I have heard of the FARC group. You know, they're classified as a terrorist organization.
Sure.
Lots and lots of kidnappings. They don't seem to be great in my analysis of what I know of them. So, yeah. So lots and lots of kidnappings, lots and lots of hostages. So a few years ago, in the 2010 range, the Colombian army met with a Colombian ad executive and sent a message to hostages. And I would like to know, and this is a very broad question, and I know that, how did they get the message to those hostages? How did they get the message to those captured folks? I can tell you what the message was, if you'd like.
Sure.
Yeah, so basically they said, hey, 19 others have been rescued. You're next. Don't lose hope. And that was the message that they sent. So how did they get that message to those captives?
So they'd have to know where the captives were being held to do this. I would think.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it could be a medium that delivers the message in kind of a less modern way, because I don't think they'd have like podcasts on.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
Today's podcast sponsored by Your Rescue.
I just had a really funny picture pop into my head. Was you said not with like current medium or whatever it was. So I was just sitting there going, okay, hostages, like what do you do with hostages? Like maybe they send them a care package. And then I just thought of like the hostage on a toilet, like reading the back of the shampoo bottle. You know, before there were cell phones or anything, like, you know, it's wash, rinse, repeat. But then it's wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
Don't give up hope. We're coming for you. Like, and there it is, right on the back of the shampoo bottle.
I can tell you that the ad executive, Juan Carlos Ortiz, he worked for the same ad agency that did Tony the Tiger. He did a big anti-cocaine ad.
Was it a word search? On the back of a cereal box?
No, so
it was the prize in the box.
He did a big campaign that was anti-cocaine, and basically the ad shows a guy, you know, on a bus, and he sniffs somebody's dandruff because he thought it was cocaine. And FARC and a lot of the people involved in this organization, they get a lot of their money through cocaine. Again, not an expert here, but they really didn't like him. Lots of death threats. So his ad agency moved him to New York, but he still was like, hey, Colombian Army, I'll help you out trying to beat these guys because they threaten my family and are not nice. So he helped run a campaign in 2008 where they dropped 7 million pacifiers into the jungle with messages encouraging the rebels and the pregnant women to return to civilization. And so that's the kind of like out of the box thinking. They dumped 7 million pacifiers across the jungle. It was 960 flight hours to dump all those pacifiers. The answer to my question.
Right,
that's
yeah.
Well, I'm going to take that flight example and say maybe it was one of those beach streamers behind the plane.
That was something that they considered in their brainstorming sessions. Oh. So you're on the right track.
Yeah. It wasn't spiders, was it?
No, they dropped it was not spiders. Not any sort of live animals that they dropped.
It was just carrier pigeons.
Carrier pigeons.
I didn't drop those.
I've got nothing because I can't get the shampoo bottle thing out of my head.
Okay, I'll give you guys a hint. So they're in the remote jungles, and how do you communicate when you're in remote places?
Smoke signals.
Smoke signals, or, I mean, this is a technology that's been
Morse
around.
Morse code?
Yes, exactly.
Really?
So where would they put the Morse code that you had access to in the jungle and in these hideaways?
Bongo drums?
No. It's something that would be
distributed.
Yeah.
Like they drop something out of a plane. Cigarettes.
No.
Oh, monkeys.
No.
They shaved it into the backs of all the monkeys.
It's something that we all have access to right now in America, in most countries.
No. Candy? Mm-mm. I can't.
Okay, you're going to think of it and you're going to go.
I'm way off base here because the only thing I can think of is because you're talking about like blanket coverage because they don't know where they are.
Correct.
I can't think about like humanitarian aid sending them something. So it would be like candy bars or cigarettes or shampoo.
It was not
or
a
whatever.
Physical thing. They could not touch
clouds.
This thing.
It's cloud riding.
No, not cloud riding. It's not a physical
thing.
So
is it in radio waves then?
Exactly. So it was in radio, Morse code and radio. But how did they get it actually on the radio? They disguised the Morse code into a pop song and
then artificially inflated the hit value.
And put the pop song on the radio as like, here's one of the airwaves. Or put it on the airwaves as like, here's a regular pop song. The Morse code was
embedded into the beat of the song, basically.
We'll put it in the link dump so you guys can actually listen to it. But they have words and lyrics. The song's really catchy and really nice. And then there's like a very clear instrumental part where you can hear the beeps. I think that it pretty obviously sounds like Morse code, but those guys didn't.
They didn't hear it.
They didn't.
And was this, it was obviously it was successful. Otherwise, like who would have?
Yeah, they wouldn't really write about it if they didn't get them out.
So they must have gotten the message somehow.
Yeah, they got the message. And
This sounds very much like a Simpsons episode. This is like Even at Niage.
Yeah.
If you don't know what that is, I'll
drop
it in the link.
More of a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Code talkers.
Yeah, so they... But, I mean, you know, it's a very high-risk situation, though, because as soon as they know that somebody was coming for these guys, they would kill all of them. So they really had to figure out a way that was as non-invasive as possible.
Is that as acceptable as a secret phrase? Even at Niage?
Sure, yes. Yes.
No one's going to know how to spell it.
Everybody should know exactly how to spell it.
That is
watch the video and you'll know.
That is actually one of my favorite Simpsons episodes of all time. So...
Is it really?
Like, oh, my God. I love it. It's a boy band episode.
Right. Have you seen that episode?
Favorite's the monorail.
Okay. Yeah. There's no downside there.
Classic. That's like number one overall Simpsons draft pick. But that's
written
that's
by Conan O'Brien.
There it is.
Bonus fact.
I just said that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, the song is called Better Days, by the way, and so which I feel like is pretty.
Is that Citizen Kane?
I don't get the reference. I've never seen Citizen.
I've seen Better Days.
Oh, I thought
that
you were.
It's not Citizen Kane. Who is that? Smash Mouth?
Oh, no, no, no.
One of those.
I thought you were talking about Citizen Kane, the movie, and I was like, don't spoil it for me. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to be really, really angry if someone spoils it.
I want to say some things.
No, don't. Okay, so we have the secret phrase, which was?
Even at Niage.
Even net Niage.
Yes, cool. Let's just join the Navy spell backwards. Watch the Simpsons episode. It's great. Listen to the pop song that freed some hostages. And Andrew will be back next week.
All right.
This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Andrew.
And we don't know either.
Bye.